The Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi is embarking on a two-week tour of the Pacific. Starts today, pursuing a Pacific-wide deal with almost a dozen island nations covering policing, security, data communications cooperation. The Federated States of Micronesia President David Panuele says, quote, the predetermined joint communique should be rejected amid fears it could spark a new Cold War between the China and the West. First on the itinerary's ministers itinerary is the Solomon Islands, which recently signed a security pact with China despite objections from Australia, the US, Japan and New Zealand. Meanwhile, the New Zealand government has announced a 12-month extension to its deployment in the Solomon Islands. To discuss this is Robert Aysen, who's the Professor of Strategic Studies at Victoria University. Robert, kia ora, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Wallace. Nice to be with you.
It's good to have you on, and it seems to me this is pretty significant stuff. I mean, China wants to wants 10 Pacific nations to endorse their sweeping statement, and guess what? This includes the Pacific's lucrative tuna catch. This is big news.
Yeah, It's a really interesting development, Wallace. It signals that China is not just looking for individual relationships with, you know, so it's got that already got that recent agreement with Solomon Islands, but it's looking for a more multilateral engagement. It's been working on that sort of thing for a while, but I think one of the reasons that Australia and New Zealand are concerned about it is the idea that China might be able to dilute New Zealand and Australia's multilateral connections in the Pacific through things like the Pacific Islands Forum, and that some of the areas that the potential agreement, if more of the Pacific countries sign it, that it will move into areas of, you know, that will raise concerns, things like the cybersecurity cooperation, for example, police training, and the sort of the marine spatial kind of mapping in terms of those marine resources. And so this is a significant moment, and the fact that Wang Yi is taking, I think, a delegation of 20 to 10 Pacific Island countries. I can't think in recent times of a foreign minister from any country that has visited that multitude of Pacific Island countries. And the fact that a number of Pacific Island countries are saying, well, you know, we'll take the visit and we'll talk,
yes,
that itself is a sign of a level of engagement that, you know, 15 or 20 years ago and even more recently we would not have seen.
I mean, what have we got here? I mean, it's quite extraordinary when you really think about it. A marine spatial plan for China and the Pacific countries to optimize the layout of the marine economy. You've got a draft action plan, which China says it'll build criminal investigation labs as needed by the Pacific nations. It's quite some stuff here, Robert. How concerned do you think that New Zealand and Australia need to be?
Well, I think the first thing is to look at what the Pacific countries eventually agree to. And I expect that not everything that China seeks it will get. Similarly, there was real concern with the agreement with Solomon Islands that this was the next step would be a military base, and that's not inevitable. But that does mean closer, you know, China Solomon's cooperation. I do think it's a matter of not being too worried about the full scope of the plan, but actually working out what it is that it is agreed. I mean, China's also talking about, I think it's 25,000 government scholarships. So the resources that China can throw at a region of fairly small states is hard to match if China really wants to do that. But the proof will be in how far this agreement goes. But it does represent a pretty ambitious approach by China and an attempt to tell Australia in particular, with a new prime minister, that China means business in your neck of the woods. That's a very strong signal.
Yeah, there. Stay there, Robert. We'll go to our panellists and get responses from each, from Moata.
Well, I mean, I don't know that much. I'm not very knowledgeable about geopolitics, but it just looking at at it from the outside, it does give you pause when you see a country that is as big and as rich and as powerful as China courting countries that are very small and not rich and not that powerful. There's just immediately the sense that there's a very big power imbalance there, and that whatever happens within the Pacific, you know, we're the largest Polynesian country, so that is naturally going to have effects on us. What those are, I wouldn't want to speculate on. That's more Robert's role.
And Phil?
It just screamed to me, Robert, of imperialism when I read this statement. I thought, gee, that's very old-fashioned imperialist, colonialist kind of language. Well, us Chinese characters will come in and help you guys out because you're a bit small. And so I think it may not succeed, actually, because I'm not sure it puts the Pacific nations at the centre. It really puts China at the centre far too bluntly. But it does speak to me of the mistakes that far too many countries like Australia, the US, and we have made in the Pacific over the years, because we ourselves have been pretty arrogant. We've said you can trade with us on our terms. You know, we'll do aid programs. Mm-hmm. And so we've been a bit big brother to these characters ourselves over the years, and I think we're paying some of the price for that, certainly the Solomons.
All right. Robert, you want to respond to those?
Well, I think for some Pacific countries, you know, there are real risks here of getting caught up in you know, additional strategic competition. And I think that, you know, an Australian defence white paper 20 years ago said that one of Australia's, you know, things that Australia would be concerned about would be the growth of destabilising strategic competition in the Pacific. And clearly this has the risks of that, but not just because of what China is seeking to do, but what responses will come. And I think that's one of the really, really interesting judgment calls for countries in the region, you know, is how to respond to this. And I think a kind of a tit for tat response would be you know, really quite difficult. And you know, New Zealand's Foreign Minister Mahuta has talked about avoiding militarization in the South Pacific. And that is a key interest. But of course, how do you respond to this without increasing and your close partners increasing that prospect too? Yeah. But I do think that some Pacific countries, you know, for them, additional Chinese interest from China means that they can then, of course, attract additional interest from others. And so sometimes that competition can be played as well. It's not like Pacific Island countries are just passive victims of what is going on here. They have choices to make and interests to pursue as well.
Professor Aysen, thank you. As always, that is Professor Robert Aysen there from Victoria University. China pursuing a Pacific-wide deal with almost a dozen Pacific nations.